Well, then, Levi, speaking to you from the Holy Yeshiva of Chutzal Chesed Yerushalayim, learning the book Gan HaShalom. We are up to page 76 in the Hebrew version. Talking about the inyan, the idea, the requirement to put a wife in first place. No matter what the circumstance is, a wife is our primary responsibility. Even, as we were learning yesterday, even in a case of an argument between our wife and our children, our wife may get upset with our children, and we may have a reaction that would be to try and protect the children. Not the correct thing to do. It's not the correct thing to do. The correct thing to do, even in that circumstance, that difficult circumstance, is to put our wife first. We were learning yesterday the reasons why that is the correct thing to do. So we learned, and Aish was teaching us, that there were at least three benefits, obvious benefits, from doing that. The first one, we said, was that once the wife sees that the husband is on her side, she'll calm down quicker. She got upset, she got into a bad mood, and now she sees that her husband is actually on her side, so she'll now start to calm down. It will be helpful to the situation. Number two, this is a perfect opportunity to prove to your wife that she's the most important thing. What better opportunity than at the times of difficulty? It's easy to show your wife that she's wonderful and she's the most important thing in your life, and she just cooked you the most fantastic Shabbos meal. Right? It's a lot harder to do that when she's screaming. And now you show her that she's the most important thing, and more important than the children. Now you're proving yourself. Right? So that gives her the feeling that she needs, that you put her in first place, and that mends and heals a lot of fences. If a husband is not putting his wife in first place on a regular basis, on a constant basis, then it may be that some major effort is required. And it may just be that Hashem decides to give you that opportunity to rectify a lot by putting you in a tough test, and you have to now pick your wife and put her in first place. And that tough test could be, for example, when she is upset or angry with the children. Number three, the third reason the Rav gives is as follows. Acharei she'inyanim yeragu, after things quieten down, ha'bal yuchal la'asok b'chinuch amiti, the husband can then busy himself with true education. Tahainu, that means lakachat ha'yiladim, to take the children, u'ledaber lehem, to speak to them, b'nachat u'bahava, in calmness and with love, u'lehagid lehem, to tell them, shehu ohev otam, that he loves them very much. V'shehem tzrichim kulam, lidog she'ima lo titzta'er, and they all need to be very careful that Ima doesn't get upset. Can explain to the children what. Look, I understood what I saw. What was going on? I know Ima shouted at you. I know you felt that it wasn't your fault. But you know, we all have to be careful and watch that Ima doesn't get upset. We all have a job to do. But yeah, I'll be able to see and to extend to or to increase his conversation with them. But your mail him and to tell them. Think about how much Ima works very hard for us. How much effort she puts in and how much she gives to us. From morning till evening. She is, from morning till night, she's only serving us, looking after you. She's caring that you have clean clothes and you have food to eat. When I care to buy it, she cleans the house, baratsa, washes, the corner, mashatarich, Vod. She provides whatever you need, etc., etc. Chayavim anu liyot asirei todaima. We are obligated to always thank Ima. V'chol shechem lo liyot kafuri tova, and all the more so never to be ungrateful. V'lo lachshov shechi chayev elanu mashu, and to never think that she is obligated to us in anything. Manu chal lomar Ima. What can we say about Ima? V'chal litronen aleha chalila. Is it possible for us to complain against her? Chas v'shalom? No way. Anu tzrichim rak lodot la. We need to only to thank her. V'lishabeach ota, to praise her, bli hefsek, without end. V'vadai lishma b'kolav, and certainly to listen to what she says. La'azor b'chol, and to help, etc. V'chen tov shisafel yadim sipor im musa ma'oreh al kibud avem b'chodameh. And also it would be useful to tell the children a story about a Musa story to awaken them into respect that needs to be given to the parents, to the mother, etc. Right, so even if this there is an occurrence of the mother shouting at the children, the response of the husband is to back up the mother 100%, to not take the children away and say, you know, I understand that the Ima went a bit crazy, you know, just, you know, don't worry about it, and she gets upset sometimes, and you know, she'll get over it, she'll calm down. No, it's to actually to praise the wife and say, our job is to make sure Ima doesn't get upset. She does so much for us, so much for the house, we're so grateful to her. Like, even if it was a situation where perhaps she overreacted, or it wasn't really right. My job is, even in front of my children, to show clearly that the mother is so important. Rabbi Abraham, you okay? Okay, you want to say something?
This whole explanation of the father to the children, there's no, when it's Musa too, he's have to tell stories of Musa about how the Kibbutz Em. Here, right in the text itself, does it say that we should be helping?
Helping the mother?
Because it's her dad so long, she's doing A to Z, and
there is. He does say this.
Coming up.
No, he says here that there in the text. The last word on the second, on the penultimate line. That paragraph, the end of that line, La Azola. Radalishmo Bakola, La Azor. To help her too. Okay. Okay. Can be in Yana Yiladin, Bolem od Mashikatamulai. So here we see that in the matter of the children, it's very clear what we wrote above. She'inyan shel makom rishon eino hatzaga, that the concept of putting your wife in first place is not a show, it's not a game, it's not a joke. She'im abal lo yafnim etzeh amok b'libo, that if a husband doesn't put this, internalize this deeply in his heart, hazeh b'mikra'im eilu o acharim tizgaleh emet she'isho hi lo b'makom rishon etzlo, then what will happen if a person doesn't internalize this, then on occasions like these or other difficult situations, it's the truth is going to be revealed that his wife is really not in the first place with him. Right? Unless we actually work on this and pray on it, and not just take it as a good idea, then we're going to fall. Hashem is going to put us in situations where we're not going to be able to live up to it. Kamar b'mikra kazeh, like this example, shehu yugonen al yiladav. In this example, he will instinctively just go and try and protect the children. And then the truth will be revealed. The truth will be revealed that they're more important to him than she is. But if a husband successfully internalizes this, as lo yeh lo nisayon, it won't be a test for him. ki yelo bavu, because it will be clear to him she'alav lo'achem aleha, that his job is to have mercy on her, ulavin ota, to understand her, uliyot letzida, and to be by her side. And this in itself is mercy, the true mercy on the children. Because when the ima is happy, from the relationship of her husband, she'll improve her relationship to the children. And if they bother her. No, if he upsets her, if the husband upsets her by not being putting her in first place in those situations, then she's going to take it out on the children. Tzrichim ladat. We need to know. She'icha ikar chinuch hayiladim talui ba'av. We should know, gentlemen, that the main education of our children is dependent on the father. Interestingly, because normally we say it's dependent on the mother, right? They learn most from the mother, but here, from this aspect, the ikar is dependent on the father. How? Kasher ha'av hu dugma la'avodat ha'midot. When the father, is an example to the children of working on his midot. Sheyodeh la'avir ha'midotav, that he knows how to forgo his own honor. Liot savani, to be patient. Lefayet, to appease. Liyashev et ha'hadurim. Don't know what it is. To calm things down. Lishtok keshetzoakim alav, to be quiet when they shout at him, etc. Sheyayeledim roim temutsu, when the children see this, yuchedet v'tova, ze'ika achino. This is their main learning from seeing the example that the father gives of his good midot. Anyone? That's a good midah. When someone shouts at us, we know from Torah, the ikra of teshuvah is yishtok v'yidom. When someone shouts and rebukes us, it's to be quiet and nod. Right?
So when the kids shout?
Yeah. Even more so when the kids shout at him. Why? The husband has to know it's from Hashem. Hashem is shouting at me right now. There's no point shouting back or getting upset. Because if I do that, apart from the fact that my emunah is nowhere in the picture, Hashem is nowhere in the picture, apart from that, I miss the message Hashem is giving me right now. If I successfully manage to shout down the other side and win the argument, or scare them enough, or whatever it is I'm going to use to try and get my own way, then I've won the battle and lost the war. I've apparently gained. In the short term, but lost the message that Hashem is going to try and give me. Hashem is trying to show me something. It's not every day that I get shouted at. How am I going to get the message if I'm shouting down the message? If I'm ignoring the message? If I'm trying to? If I think that the message is not a message?
Then they don't learn to respect you.
The children. They do learn to respect me. They respect me more. There's a difference. If I don't take it from them, if I do not accept anyone giving me, right, then they're scared of me. It's not learning from me, they're scared of me. And as soon as they stop being scared of me, they'll go and do whatever they like. They're not learning anything. And they're being forced into reacting because they're scared not to. However, if they learn from their own free will that they can actually, they've got a choice. They can shout at Abba, or they can not shout at Abba. That's every choice. And they have to learn what it means. How are they going to learn that? They're going to see that I'm not going to react to being shouted at. And then they're going to have to think. You know yourself that if you shouted at someone, And that person was just kind of quiet. It's a mirror. It's a pure mirror. It just reflects back on me. I feel really bad. Oh, shouted at him. But if he shouts back, then I'm perfectly justified. Everything I did was 100% right. He shouted back. It doesn't matter. I started it. I was on it, right? But so a person can never learn if he's in an argument in that situation, right? So the essence of Hinoch is to nod and to accept. And it's also, apart from anything, all these situations, even with our kids, are only from Hashem to teach us, right? Our children happen to be the tool. Yes, we've also got an obligation for Hinoch Yiladim. But that's almost, I think, it's almost secondary to my job. Hashem is giving me a test right now. What's my job? My job is to be quiet. Yeah, but aren't you worried that that might have a negative impact? It doesn't matter. My job right now is to do that. The truth is, if I'm doing my job, it's all going to turn out 100% correct, like in this situation. The truth is, if I'm acting correctly how Hashem wants me to act, it'll be fine between the kids and the mother, and everything will be sorted, right? Hashem will take care of it. Because my job is to do what I need to do, and to not worry about what the consequences are going to be. Right now, this is what I need to do. Part of what I need to do may be to worry about the consequences, no. But it's not the issue. The issue is I have to do my job in the world. My job is to hear my rebuke and turn on the circumstances. Always circumstances otherwise. A person can be as allowed to get angry to protect Torah. Someone is desecrating a Torah, you can go over and smack him, right? But if someone is shouting at you and calling you names, then you can't. You have to accept it. Right? One is for the sake of Hashem, one is for the sake of me. In the end of Torah Vav, Rav Nachman brings the mashal of, I don't know if any of you have CDs by Rav Cardona. Rav Cardona. Anyway, you're missing out. Rav Cardona, Yosef Cardona, he's a Breslov musician. Plays the guitar, has a voice like an angel. Mamash. Anyway, so a few CDs. I wanted to see the last CD. He did a couple of songs which are basically singing Likutei Moran. He just like picks a piece of, right? So anyway, he sings basically a few lines of the last section of Likutei Moran Torah Vav in a duet with Shlomo Katz. It's a beautiful, amazing song. Tov, anyway, what do they sing? They sing at the end of the... You're going to see how it all ties up, hopefully. That Mashal of a man... I know it in Hebrew. I'm trying to translate it because it's in the song. Mashal She'adam a man who is making a crown. His friend comes along and says, who are you making this for? The last paragraph. And he says, for the king. And the man says to him, oh, since you're doing it for the king, what any good stone, any Evan Tov you find, you should put in it. Okay, thank you very much. And he says, Kach kol Yehudi, so to every Jew, b'chinat melech, b'chinat keter, is an aspect of the crown, of all the nakudot tovot. When a person finds the good points in his fellow Jew, he's putting the precious stones in the crown of the king. So it's a very nice mashal, but the question is, what's it got to do with Teshuvah? What's it got to do with Torah Vav? What's it doing there? So at the end he says that when a person hears himself being rebuked and still finds good in the person that's rebuking him, it's crowning Hashem. I'm putting the stones in the crown. Why is it crowning Hashem? Because he's saying to Hashem, you're right. He's finding truth in the rebuke. When a person rebukes us, criticizes us, why does it hurt? Why do we get upset? Only because there's truth in it. If there was no truth in it, we wouldn't get upset at all. Somebody rebukes you and says, you steal things. You're a thief. Okay, if you think so, that's nice for you. Have a nice day. Doesn't do nothing to me. It's completely... However, if someone comes to me and says to me, you know what? Speak on myself. You know what? He's over the top. He says to me, you know what? Call yourself a front person. You think you're so good. You're actually not so nice to people. He goes, you're not really, you're not such a good person. Yeah, Tom, he brings the Indians about, what's not so good about me. And there's a bit of truth in what he said. That hurts. I get very upset. Can't say that. That's not fair. How dare you? Right? And it pushes my buttons. I get very upset. Right? And I want to shout only because it has truth in it. And I'm arguing on the truth. I'm arguing on the bit where it's not true. I'm arguing, fine, 10% of what you said is truth, but this 90% I'm going to give you health, right? How dare you say this stuff? And I'm missing the 10% that was true, which is why it hurt. So Ram Lathan says, no, focus on the 10% and be matchstick to Hashem, justify that it's true. You're right, I do need to work on my Derek Harris a little bit. I'm a little bit rude to people. I'm not so... You're right, 100%. By doing that, by agreeing and admitting when someone rebukes me, first of all, I'm Yishtok V'Yidon. I'm not angry, I'm not upset. Yishtok V'Yidon, maybe you forgive me. You know what? In fact, you're right. Thank you very much. You pointed out something that I do need to learn. I do need to work more on that thing. Right? When a guy comes over, when you're driving and you're not really looking what you're doing, and you cut up someone by accident, told me it was a mistake, and they give you hell. They shout, you're useless, nutter, crazy, all these words. So you can either get upset with him, or you can say to him, no, you know what, you're right. Thank you, I wasn't looking where I was going. At that point, you just diffused everything. He's now, you're right, 100%, I wasn't looking where I'm going, sorry. You're right, thank you for telling me. So he's now, he can't shout at you anymore. You agree, you admit, right, once you agree with someone, how can they shout at you anymore? Right, so you've killed all that, you've diffused all that. Secondly, you've agreed, you now got stuff to work on. Thank you for the message. And even more than that, I'm crowning Hashem. Why am I crowning Hashem? Because I'm saying, Hashem, you're king. Right? Whatever you're saying is 100% correct. It's not like this is all, what is going on? I don't deserve this. How can people treat me like this? Right? And Kielu Hashem is wrong. No, I'm saying, Hashem, you're right, 100%. You're right. Thank you. You're right, 100%. Thank you. I'm putting the crown on where it should be. Whatever happening is now, Hashem is in control. He's the king. He's in charge, and it's all great. It's all good. I'm crowning Hashem. And then, the good point which I'm finding, the truth in the rebuke, the truth in the rebuke is the nekudot tovot, is the even tovot. Are the precious stones which are in the crown. So too here with our children or anyone that is shouting at us. Our job, forgetting about Hinoch and all that stuff, that's almost secondary. What's important right now is what Hashem expects of me. What Hashem expects of me right now to do this is Hashem to learn the message and, right, that's actually going to turn out to be the best Hinoch completely for the children. Right? No matter what it says about, a father needs to show that he's respected and all that stuff. Shtiyot. That was written by fathers with big egos. Right? It wasn't written by a Torah Jew. I need to have respect in front of my children. No. If Hashem is going to give you respect, you're going to get respect. Not, you don't create it by not allowing any dissension in the house and you could, don't speak to your father like that, go to your room, all that stuff. Right? Which is just... Sorry, Matt. Yes?
So, I remember one of my conversations with Rav Dvor. He told me to come to my house You see a father girl and the kids are crazy. The kids are sometimes crazy. And I look at my son's children too, and I say, you know, they're crazy. And a lot of the things that we do here is maybe the results that we're really going to see, and not immediate, but we're going to see that raising children according to Rav Shalom or Shlom Bayit according to Rav Shalom, you don't see these results immediately. Eventually, once you practice them, once you see that, you know, so my kids will be crazy for 3 years. They're going to be fighting with one another. They're going to be shouting at me, but eventually they'll come out okay. I think you're even talking about the Rav's children.
Right.
About Rav Shalom's children, who weren't easy kids. I think he sets up something like that one.
He writes a lot about it in his book Chinuch Yiladim, but part of what he writes about there is that we do them a disservice when we squash our kids, because that's what we do. We squash our kids often to fit into a box. Like, don't be this, don't do that, do this, do this, don't. Well, everything's got a rule by it. You need rules, you need boundaries. But there's a dangerous squash. If you squash them, then they're lost. Their personality's squashed. And that's forevermore. But you let their personality flourish while they're young, and then they're going to be huge. Top, they're going to have the choice. They're going to be huge, chasval shalom, huge criminals, or they're going to be huge, great people. But they're going to be huge because their neshama is able to express and able to be. But also, I think the other point that you made about it doesn't happen immediately. We also experienced for sure that, and that's part of the test, because the test is to see how much you want it, to see if it was true. Am I just trying this out to get to the result? I really want you to do something. I want you to clean your room, but I'm not going to shout at you to do it. But I'm going to watch and see how, you're still not cleaning, you're still not cleaning right. Baruch Hashem, I can give a personal example. My children, two girls, and usually on a Friday afternoon, particularly, or Friday morning, depending on which house you're in, right? Everyone's cleaning for Shabbos. The kids are expected to clean too. And in certainly most of my friends' houses, not most, but a lot of my friends' houses, the children have tasks to do. This one needs to do that one needs to do clean the floor, that one needs to, whatever. Everyone has something to do. We tried that, it didn't work. Kids weren't interested. The wrong way of doing it is to make them do it. It's important that they help out. It's important for their hinuch, and therefore, either by carrot or stick, I have to make sure that they actually help out the home, right? And therefore, you either have to put in place rewards or negative rewards, punishments, like you forfeit something, whatever, if you don't help out. Rav Shalom teaches that's not right at all. Right? If children want to do, they have free choice. A child needs to learn free choice as well. It's far more important to learn free choice than it is for you to have your house looking how you want it to look. So we tried this, and we let the kids not help. We said, I offered to the, I said, kids, Friday afternoon, be nice if you would like to clean up the salon, and I'm too tired, I don't feel like. So, left it. Meanwhile, it's very hard, because we go to other people's houses and see, and they're all cleaning, everyone's joining in, and everyone's, that's what you see, and Hashem shows you the happy, smiling face of the kid who's cleaning the floor for his parent, am I right? Because that's just going to, Hashem's, because you've got to be tested. You don't see the other stuff where she got screamed at and she's got bribed and to do it. You don't see the happy, so Tom, you go away with the idea that only my kids are a complete hooligan, and everyone else's kids are helping out. But it's not true, because what happens? Because it's not about the short term, it's about the long term. So we did that, and that was the situation for probably about 6 months, maybe longer. Now, I don't say anything to my children, nothing at all. They clean up every Friday, they share between them the jobs. They sit down, they get a piece of paper. I don't even know where this came from. They sit down with a piece of paper and say, okay, what are you going to do? You do this, I'll do this. You do this, I'll do this. And they write for themselves a list and they get on with it. From their decision, their choice. And we have to know that that's true, right? That this is not just a game, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. No, a person who is going to abide by the rules and go with it. But you're going to be tested. You're going to be tested. My kid's going to be lazing down on the sofa. The place is going to be a mess. I'm tired. So I'm going to have to tidy and you're just going to lay there and watch me? Yeah. I'm going to have to go through that. That's hard. No? You want me to tidy your room while you read the magazine? That's not easy. But you know what? They get the message. And then it's free choice. When you do, and a person does something from free choice, it's a lot more powerful, a lot more stronger.
Now, let's say you find your child sitting on the couch, and they guys, I don't have a child yet, so I'm going to test in this area. Sitting on the couch, you're tired, you just come home. Are you allowed to ask them, you know, can you help me clean up?
Yeah, yeah.
Or should you just like pretend that they're not
even there? No. So you have to ask them, you have to tell them what's right. Right? But give them the free choice. And in every areas, right? So, you know what? I don't think you should eat that right now. Or if you want to wait for Kiddush, you should be waiting for Kiddush before you eat. But tell that's, you know. Or I would like you to bench. But it's your choice. And my kids don't currently bench after the meal. Why not? Because I'd like them to bench for the rest of their life. Whereas if I make them bench now, then they'll bench while they're in my house, but they won't bench for the rest of their life. They'll like, anything that a person knows, anything you got forced to do as a kid, turns right away from it.